Blog Talk Radio.
Everybody, and welcome to Delicious Talk. This is your host, Gail Delicious Johnson. My co-host, Rhea, is on the line. That's Bonnie Raitt. Let's give them something to talk about. How you doing this evening, Rhea?
I'm doing great. How are you today?
I am fantastic. If I got any better, I'd be scared.
All righty then.
You know, it's been raining here. We just had Irene passing through here and the earthquake and then 9/11. So, you know, I'm still good because I woke up this morning and that's the most important thing.
I know that's right.
You know, so anything else is secondary to me. And I got a few little announcements I like to make because our guest is not on. I don't know if they're going to show or not, but if they don't, we will do a show. First, I'd like to let the listeners out there who don't know me, I am an author, a poet, an actress, and a romance consultant, among other things. I have 4 books published. My first book was Past Is Not Forgotten. My second book, You Might Get Lucky, that's my most controversial book. My third book, A Book of Delicious Erotic Short Stories. And my fourth book is the sequel to my first book, What's Past, It's Not Forgotten, The Reunion. If you'd like to purchase any of my books autographed, go to my website, which is www.deliciousbooks.web. Also, I'll give you a little lineup of who's going to be on this week. Next Friday, we're having on D.K. Walker. Now, I don't know if you know who D.K. Walker is or if you don't, but Friday you will know who D.K. Walker is. He's a first-time author, and he has a publishing company as well. And his book, what we're going to be reviewing and interviewing him about, is The Ugly Side of Sex. Now, I got the book, when did I tell you I got the book, Rhea? Wednesday?
Wednesday.
Okay. I started reading it Thursday. Now, without a doubt, this is a good book because, number one, it's 95% based on this author's life. And it's erotic, it's sexy, it's sensual, it's you know, all those things wrapped in the run into one. And I must warn you, reading this book, you will have to put it down, you know, from time to time. I'm telling you, the book is that hot. And like I said, I started reading it yesterday. I'm already on chapter 50. In the book, and I should have this book completed by, if I don't have any more interruptions, I would have had the book finished by today, but, you know, doing other things because I have a lot of irons in the fire right at this particular time, I have to tend to them as well. But like I said, he'll be on the show on the, let's see, the 16th, which is next Friday. And, you know, hopefully everybody that's listening now and, you know, more listeners will tune in because this is definitely going to be a hot interview. Am I right or wrong, Rhea?
I'm looking forward to it. I think I've been on two already, and it caught my attention immediately. And
mm-hmm.
I think it's an interesting subject. And
mm-hmm.
to have the discussion with him with the openness that he exhibited.
Right.
On the other shows and having listened to them and actually formulated questions and things like that, I think it's going to be a very engaging show. And I'm looking forward
to
it.
No doubt. And again, the title of his book is The Ugly Side of Sex. So if you want to get his book, let me see if I can see where you can order his book. I can at least put that out there. Let's see. Okay, you can go to his website, which is www.e as in elephant, n as in Nancy, dash e as in elephant, l as in Larry, dash publishing.com. And that's D.K. Walker, and he's from Washington, D.C., as myself. So we do have that in common, and we're both authors, but, you know, he has his publishing company, which is a good thing for him. Okay, with that being said, I know you guys listened to the interview I did last week with Antoine T-Money, and his movie is out. If you want to see that movie in your city, state, town, island, or wherever you're at, go to the website, The Right to Remain Silent movie.com and request it, because I'm telling you, this movie is not only a good movie, but it also you'll also walk away with something from this movie, you know, because it's the movie is about an abusive husband who is also a serial rapist, and you know, watching this movie made me, you know, see a lot of things and it brought up old memories for me as well because I am a victim of a rapist. And, you know, when you go see this movie, you're definitely going to walk away with something. So if you want that movie, again, like I said, in your city, state, or town, go to the website, which is Right to Remain Silent Movie.com. Okay. And on the 23rd, I'm having a young man on who is, I guess he is a spoken word artist. And his name is Michael Hayes. He's, I've met him on Facebook. And a friend of his had requested, you know, that he be on the show so he can get a little exposure. And he's going to be on the show the 23rd. And if you ever read any of his poetry or his spoken word, it is definitely sensual, erotic, and it's very heartfelt. So he's going to be here on the 23rd. On the 30th, you know it's going to be slow jams because I do my musical shows generally the last Friday of the month, and the last Friday, well, last month was happy hour. So the end of the month, the show is going to be slow jams. So when you get off work or if you're at work or wherever you're near a phone or a computer, just tune in and listen. And if you have any requests, you can call in. And if I have it, I'll be more than happy to play it. Mm-hmm. My songs will go back all the way to late 50s up into, I have a few 2010, 11 songs as well, but I'm from the old school. And, you know, you can come and listen to my music on that particular night. Also, every Friday from 1:30 until maybe 2, sometimes a little after 2, I do a segment on Third Eye Open. That's every Friday from 1:30 till maybe about 2, sometimes a little after 2. I do a little segment on there. That's Third Eye Open, Blog Talk Radio. Third-Eye-Open. And I said that, well, the show starts at 1, but I'm generally on there from 1:30 to maybe about 2, something like that. And during the week, I co-host with Miss Kane. That's Miss Kane Productions, Blog Talk Radio, Miss Kane Productions, and that show generally airs at 11 p.m. Monday, we do celebrity gossip. And whatever other topic Miss Kane does after that. And let's see, is there anything else going on with me, Rhea? Oh, I'm also like I'm working on turning my second book into a play. I am working on that, and my first book and the sequel, a film maker is looking at that to either turn it into a series or a movie. So. You know, definitely working on that. And I have a few other books in my mind, but I'm trying to get things established to the point where I can finish what I'm doing before I dive into doing something else, because I do have a couple. I am going to do another sequel to What's Past Is Not Forgotten, The Reunion. And I think the title of that book, because I was trying to think of a title, but it's not written in stone because my sister gave me the title to my first book. So I threw a couple of titles out to her. And one of the titles I came up with for the third volume to this book is And the Bricks Came Tumbling Down. Mm. And that sequel is because, you know, the story was based in Knox Hill Projects, and the projects were eventually torn down. And a lot of things are going to take place in this particular sequel that will answer questions that was left hanging in the reunion, because people still want to know, did Joy get her memory back to find out who had nearly beat her to death years early on in her life? And, you know, some other things transpired in this sequel as well. I'm not going to talk about it because, you know, I want people to read the book, you know. But that's what's going on. And I think I'm getting ready to go back to Kentucky, hopefully to finish up the movie that I was in 2009.
Wow.
Yeah, so,
how long will you be there?
Well, I don't know because I haven't really don't know the date when I will be going back down there. But I did speak with the gentleman who is, you know, shooting the movie, and he told me that I need to come back down there because they're trying to wrap this movie up. It's been 3 years, and yeah, so I really want it wrapped up as well, you know. But excuse me, those are some of the things I'm doing right now, and I'm also getting ready to start up another small business besides my consulting business. I'm going to start something else up on the side. That's going to be a surprise. I'm not going to put that out there. Rhea, I'll call you and let you know personally what it is, but
okay.
I just don't want to put it out there, you know, right now.
I understand.
Right, but I've been, you know, keeping busy, and if anybody's out there listening who has something they would like to promote or would like to be a guest on the show, send me an email or inbox me on Blog Talk Radio, or you can send me an email at goldenlocks556@verizon.net. That's goldenlocks556@verizon.net. Okay, so now let's talk about the let me see if this is a guest here on the line. Is this David Weston?
No, this is Lisa.
Oh, hey, Lisa, what's happening?
Hey, y'all, what's good with y'all?
Nothing much, girl.
Hi, Lisa.
Hey, Ms.
Rhea. Yeah, I thought you was my guest. You got anything going on you want to put out there?
No, I got too much going on. I ain't going to take all that time on your show to put it out there.
Girl, we got 27 minutes, and if it takes you that long, just go right ahead. Cause I... go
smooches,
right ahead.
Gail, smooches. That's all she do on my page. Smooches,
yeah,
and she be all up.
And when I got an envelope from her recently, it was written across the front of it, and that was the first thing that I saw.
Mm-hmm.
Was the smooches,
and I bust up laughing. You got to giggle at her every day. I love it. Like, she makes my day. Gail, you really make my day. I swear to God, sometimes I just
thank
be like
you,
getting
darling.
Up, like, and I see Gail Johnson. Smooches.
Thank
so.
You, dear. You make my day too, because I know you do a lot of positive things. Lisa, I really do know that about you, and, you know, you're very sincere about that. That's why, you know, I'm just, you know, if you want to, you can blast out anything you want. And, you know, like I said, if it takes 25, we got 26 minutes. If it takes 26 minutes, girl, the floor is yours.
Okay, here we go. Let me let my office know, because I'm finally going to talk about a whole lot of things that are going on with Word on the Street. We have the Word on the Street Literary Awards coming up, and I did this for my 2011 authors that dropped the book, my newbies, like the new authors, the babies, that always get looked over. They always get looked over. I mean, we love JM, you know, that's my mentor, I gotta shout him out. But, yeah, like all my new authors that get looked over, no, that, like, Joe Awesome, and all y'all, like, for real, like, get looked over with the awards. So guess what? This year, no, I'm going to do them, and then they come correct because they're going to get announced at March 24th at the 2012 Urban, Word on Straight, Urban Second Annual Literary Event. And it's at the Underground Mall in Atlanta.
Oh, okay.
And nobody even knows, huh?
And that's 2012. What's the date on that?
March 24th.
March 24th.
And the great thing about it is from 3 till question mark.
Oh, okay.
So when we have the meet and greet the night before at the spot, we all ain't dragging our butts at 10, 11 a.m. 3 p.m. Mm-hmm. We'll all be up. So details
okay.
And then what else am I doing? I'm opening my stand at the Underground Mall. On top of that, for all the books get shipped in, I've got Word on the Street Publishing. I got Jazz Lady about to drop. I've got, I got T. Smickens. We love her. Checkmate 1 and 2. She just signed with us. Kelvin Jackson is putting out Look What You Made Me Do Part 2 under us.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean, I just got so much going on, it don't make no sense.
Mm-hmm.
It really don't make no sense.
That's a good thing,
because I got my authors. I got my baby, and I call them my babies now, not even my authors. They my babies.
Wow.
Same.
So how long have you had your publishing company up and going?
3 months.
How many months?
3.
Oh, okay. Now, how did you, what made you start a publishing company?
My authors.
Oh, okay.
They begged me. They said, Lisa, we tired of getting messed up in the game. We tired of getting our money getting taken from us. And I was just like, what? They're like, come on, you've been with us for this many, at the time it was 18 months.
Mm-hmm.
When I moved to Atlanta, I had 200 authors, now I have 2,400 that I promote.
Wow. Mm-hmm.
Yeah, and, like, I just do it out of the heart. Like, nobody could say nothing bad about me because
mm-hmm.
I do this all from the heart.
Mm-hmm.
I love my authors. Like, if I got an issue or anything, you'll never see it on my page except if somebody gets hurt in my family.
Mm-hmm.
But, yeah, and Miss Rhea, no, I'll call her in a minute. I'll just inbox her. Can you call me? Miss
mm-hmm.
Rhea knows. So, yeah, I just be doing a lot for my authors. I don't want to see nobody get messed over. And
mm-hmm.
now I've got Coors Link. I've got authors coming out of the pen. I've got authors in Coors Link in the prison system that I'm going to publish because
mm-hmm.
we all know 75% of our authors that come out that be published are from the prison.
Because
they ain't got nothing better. They ain't got nothing better but time.
Right.
And that's
true.
And they write them. Look at my co-host, Al Tariq. 17 years in the pen, dropped King of the South. You look at J.M. Look at J.M. Benjamin. Look at Wahida Clark. You know what I'm saying? They've
mm-hmm.
all done time, and they brought it out to us.
Mm-hmm.
So now I got to represent back. And, I mean, I'm blessed. I've only done county time, not going back again, but I've done county time. That was enough for me. I couldn't even imagine doing state time.
I know that's right. Well, I did federal time, so I would never, oh, my God, I don't ever want to go back. I'm walking it straight and narrow.
Look, I don't even go out the house. Like, for real. If I go out the house, what, you got a license? Let me check your license. Let me check your place. Like, I am not, especially in Gwinnett County, Georgia. Like, I am not trying to go nowhere but it back in the house. Straight up.
Right. Well, let me ask you this, Lisa. Have you ever thought of writing a book yourself?
I can't write books. I barely can talk about myself. Y'all don't even understand. When y'all get me on these shows like you doing right now, it's real hard for me. It's
mm-hmm.
real hard for me. But shout out to Saving Lives Through Lit. Actually, Kay Stackfield is ghostwriting my story. She's been on the phone with me at nights
mm-hmm.
for my domestic violence that I went through.
Mm-hmm.
So that will be my first story, and if I can find somebody that want to spend enough time with me to
mm-hmm.
actually write a book for me,
mm-hmm.
I'm all down with it. I just can't do it. I don't. First of all, where do I have the time?
Yeah. Well, you know, I guess, you know, if you're feeling that way about it, but like I started writing when I was about 8 or 9 years old. I started writing in a diary. Then I started journaling. Then I wrote my first short story when I was 14. And the fact of the matter is I love to write and I love to tell stories. So, you know, everybody, you know, does it in a different way. Like you said, you're having a ghostwriter, but you're going to get it out there, you know. But and then you have people who just love to put that pen to the paper, you know, for instance, myself. And I have so many stories in my head, you know, but like I was saying earlier, I just have so many other irons in the fire and different things that I'm doing before I put, you know, the pen to paper anymore. And then the fact of the matter, I'm doing it solo. Because I no longer have a publisher, which is not a problem for me because I think, you know, by me having the publisher and learning as much as I've learned and, you know, getting into the literary world and, you know, just stepping out there on faith is basically, you know, how I'm going to be doing it now. Not to say that I'll never have another publisher, but I really want to try this episode of, you know, self-publishing. You know, as before, I was like, I think I just want to deal with the publisher. But, you know, things happen for a reason. And, you know, now I'm just out there. And definitely, I'm really kind of excited about it. You know, I really am excited about it. Whereas before, I was feeling like, well, how can I do that? I'm not going to be able to do it. But for real, I'm really excited about it. And, you know, like I also mentioned, not to say I may have another publisher somewhere one day again, but at this particular time I'm really willing to, you know, just step out there and do my own thing.
Okay, and with that being said, I could tell you this. The mm-hmm. things that I have heard about publishers, I'm talking about main name publishers.
Mm-hmm.
My authors be coming at me. This is why I started publishing. Because they was like, Lisa, $2,700 to edit a book? What?
Mm-hmm.
$5,000 for this? Yeah.
Right. And then another thing, you know, I want to say this, you know, for anybody who's out there listening, always read your contract. Do not trust what the publisher tells you or what she says is in it. Read it for yourself. Read your contract. If it takes you 2-3 days, read your contract. And if you have to get someone to help you to understand it, do that. You know, because there are some things in there that can come back to haunt you or to haunt your publisher. So it's best you read them from the beginning because, you know, there's been some little discrepancies that I found out as far as my contracts were concerned. But, you know, that's neither here nor there. But I'm just, you know, putting it out there to anybody who gets contracts to read them. And I have a problem with, you know, I really don't know because I've only had one publisher, but I'm just wondering, do publishers give out the same contracts for every book? Do all the authors get the same contracts? Or, you know, how does that work? How does that work with you, Lisa? Do your publishers your authors, do they get the same contracts for every book? Or, you know, just that work?
No, each contract is separate with me. Each contract is separate. For each book you do, it's a separate contract.
Right, it basically has the same things in it as far as, like, the first contract, doesn't it?
It unless we work something else out. Because, like, Jill, got to shout my baby girl Jill Robinson out, my first book coming out. But when Jill and when the other three took my contract is 15 pages long.
Mm-hmm.
And when they took that to, when Jill took it to her lawyer, he was like, yo, you getting, she was getting over on me. He was like, she's got your back. So I'm like, and then, oh my God, I got so much I could say, but go ahead with the contract thing because I got other subjects I could sit here and talk about all night. Like, make the show 2 hours because we'll make it go down.
Mm-hmm.
Lish, where are you at?
Because, you know, I'm just saying all that to say, you know, because like I said, I didn't know. I've only had like the one publisher, and you know, I was just wondering because I know that when you do, it's basic. The contract is basic, and the only thing I could see changing on it is if the price of the book was different from, you know, say like if your first book was $15 or whatever, and they charge you a package for that, you know, that's what I can understand. But, you know, just changing things up in it from one thing to another is what I'm trying to what I'm trying to figure out.
Gail, I don't know who you dealt with. I really don't. But that's dead ass wrong. That's dead ass wrong. What you charge for a book is on you. If you charge 15, 10, I mean, the pre-sales, we already know, go for 10. If you in a store and they only tell you, like Philly Horizons telling people you can only sell your book for $10, but other stores and websites sell you for $15, who can tell you what you can sell your book for? I'm sorry, that don't make no sense to me.
Okay, and then in an instance where they tell you, like, you pay, no, let me rephrase that. So, like, if you've been paying for a certain amount of books, if you get 50 books for $350 and you've been getting this like this the whole time, then all of a sudden it's cut, you get 25 books for $350. There's something wrong with that right there, because that's like you're paying the wholesale price for your book. Do you understand what I'm saying? And they're telling you that the print company went up.
Oh, no.
Do you understand what I'm saying? Hell to the no.
No, 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 no. That's dead ass wrong right there.
Mm-hmm.
They charging you twice the price of the printing company. Because, see, this is what I do with my authors. Look, I set up an account for you with such and such and such and such, Lightning Source and CreateSpace. I'll tell y'all, we set up an account. I'll give you your first 25 books free under the contract. Mm-hmm. Y'all can order your own books and pay for them.
Mm-hmm.
And that's how I do my. They was like, well, at least we could do that. Yes. Yes, you can. I mean, your ISBN and everything is under word on the street, but no, you can go on my account and just go ahead and order your own books for what you do. Now, if I'm ordering books, you ain't getting charged for those. I'm paying for those. I don't get what these publishers are doing. It's driving me crazy. It's driving me crazy.
Well, you know, just like that's just an example of, you know, I'm thinking how some publishers are doing things. And like I said, you know, you need to really read your contracts and maybe go over them with the publisher as well. Because if you get a contract and you know, they're just telling you to sign it, read it first. You know.
They better read it, review it, and do everything else. And there's another thing that we need to talk about is research, research, research. Please
yes.
do your research. Because I am so tired. You have no idea. And copyright. Please copyright. I had a girl hit me up the other day, and I'm not going to give her name out, but she was like, okay, well, I sent my manuscript to Author House. What?
The Author House, oh my goodness.
Yeah, okay, book. I was like, what? And she was like, yes. And I was like, did you copyright it first? She said, what is copyright? I said, oh, God. Yeah. They don't realize that she didn't do her research, and she didn't copyright herself. And it's so easy, www.copyright.com. Like, come on now.
Yeah, you can. It's a number of ways you can do it. Because my first book was copyrighted through the Library of Congress, and others was copyrighted through my publisher. And also, I understand there's a old-fashioned way you can do it. You can, you know, write your manuscript and mail it to yourself, and the post date on it, you know, whenever somebody tries to say, excuse me, they have those rights, you can just open it, you know, and that's one of the ways you can do copywriting. But I really would rather do it with, you know, the publisher or either the Library of Congress.
They call it the poor man copyright.
Yeah, Maria, you already know.
Like that.
Well, I had a couple. I crochet and I design. I've designed some pieces, and I had a couple of pieces that I was entering into contests to win. One was $5,000, and one was $2,500. But before I let my piece out of my hand, I copyrighted by mailing each one of those pages to me, so it had that postmark on it. Before I even send it in, because if they had stole my pattern, I was going to sue them.
Yeah, because you had the proof, you know. Because
I think some of them, I mean, some people, just like when it comes to books, when it comes to, especially, I hear that it goes on a lot with plays and things like that. There's a woman in Chicago right now who's fighting because her cousin took her book, the screenplay for her book, she had let him proofread it. He took it and sold it. And they're producing
it right now.
And he took it and sold it. She's suing him because she is now producing her own. And when they put it out there, hers opened up in November. When they put it out there and was starting to work on it, that's when it came up that this was just like this, and that's how she found out, and now she's suing her cousin because of that. And the reason she contacted me, because I work for a college of law, and she wanted a public interest attorney, and I referred her. But yeah, I mailed each one of those sheets to myself so that I would have verification that I own those before I released it to that company.
Wow, that is really something.
And Miss Rhea, you already know people don't know that. New authors don't know to do that. Like you said, that's a poor man's way or whatever, but at the same time, it needs to be done. This girl sent her manuscript to Author House. What is you doing without copywriting? And somebody told her to call me, so she hit me up on Facebook. Can I talk to you? I said, what's up? And she started telling me, I said, you did what for? Like, for real, you did what? And I spent 8 hours back and forth on the phone with her, telling her what to do. And she was straight lost, and her book is going to be great. Her book is going to be, she ain't publishing under me, but her book is going to be great. She's going with TBA Lounge. Another subject. But anyway, yeah, I'm like just tired of my authors and my babies, the new ones, everybody getting taken advantage of. Y'all got to realize, like, when it comes down to the last minute, y'all got to copyright. Do your research first, please. Do your research. Copyright and know who you're going with and stop getting overcharged. That made me sick. When I heard that girl paid $2,700 for editing.
Oh, my God.
Yep, $2,700 for editing. And then, what'd she tell me? $1,400 for a cover. And that was all
no.
she got.
Mm-hmm.
Exactly. Mm-mm. Hell to the no.
No.
Hell to the
that
no.
was robbery. That was robbery.
You know, like that old saying, you know better, you can do better. But sometimes we just have to put forth that little added effort, because I think sometimes we be so frantic to get it out there. And, you know, that
when they say second opinions, you know, you have something to compare it to.
Mm-hmm.
To compare the two to, and that's how you're going to learn. But I think sometimes we just be so happy to get it out there and things like that, that we just, you know, you in other words, you're frantic. You just put it out there. And sometimes you can get taken, and you can get taken really a lot in those cases.
Yeah.
Oh, here's one more thing. No, actually two more things I'm going to say about this. Please get your book edited, professionally edited. If I get one more book in this house, I'm already going to jail for media trafficking. No, just kidding, because all the books are coming to my house. But for real, please get them professionally edited. I'd be looking at these books like, who the hell edited you? Are you serious? You trying to sell this in the street? And again, I will never put authors out there or, you know, say anything bad. You know how I promote. But best believe you're going to get a phone call from me or inbox on Facebook like, are you trying to sell this on the streets? Don't start your sentences with and or if. I don't know what the hit. I'll be looking at these authors and then like, oh, you got this edit? Who edited it? And then I find out and I'll be like, oh, are you serious?
But, you know, I'm finding also that some publishers speak differently, you know, because like you said, don't start a sentence with and if. And I know a publisher who starts will let a sentence go with and or if, you know. So I guess it basically depends on how the publisher accepts that book once it is edited, because I know that when it gets to the publisher, they do a dry run over it before it definitely goes to the printer. So there are publishers that do let it go with and if. I guess, you know, like I said, it just depends on who the publisher is.
Not in my lifetime. And I swear if I get a book in that says and or if at the beginning of a sentence or a paragraph, I'll be like, what is you doing?
Mm-hmm.
What is you really doing? Because that don't make no sense to me. And I know we got slang out there because we from the hood. We do this, that we do that. You know what I'm saying? But at the same time, like, come on. And then I got a book one time. No, actually twice I got a book from an author's publishing company that they said send Lisa a book, and I'm not going to put it out there. But I got the book, and no lie, half the pages came out the spine.
Oh, my goodness. That was
so,
has something to do with the printing, when it went to the print company, I guess.
You ain't never lied. So I had to,
yeah.
I actually called the author because, you know, I got all of them in my phone anyway. But I called the author, and she was like, Lisa, what are you talking about? I said, baby, listen to me. I'm trying to tell you. I got your book sitting in right here. Chapters 2 through 27 is out my book. She said, what? And she didn't send it to me. So I hit up who sent it to me. And, I mean, they refunded the money because I ordered that one. And they actually said to me, what are you talking about? They had no clue. So when I called her and told her, she was like, Lisa, stop playing. I said, the book's sitting right here.
Wow, that's on the print company. You know, because some of these print companies are kind of poor as well, you know, and they just throw a book together and you get it, and next thing you know, it's coming apart. Because I had gotten a book from an author, and it was coming apart, and I called I let the publisher know that, you know, what was going on with it, and I guess they got in touch with the print company, but, yeah, I saw that happen as well. You know, you do have print companies that do poor work, and then you got some that do excellent work. You have to be very careful with that, too, because some of these print companies are just, you know, out to get a book out really quick and not concerned about putting it together properly. You know, so you have that to deal with as well. You know, it's a lot of things in the literary world that you have to, you know, be careful with. You have to, just like you said, Lisa, you definitely have to do research. You know, if you don't do anything else, just do some research, get on the internet and go from page to page or whatever and do your research. You know, and don't stop at one person, you know. If you got to go to two and three people, you know, do that. But, you know, you do your research, get all your ducks in a row, and then you can roll with it.
Miss Reed,
hello?
Can I ask you something? I'm here. Sorry. Miss
mm-hmm.
Reed, can I ask you something?
Yeah.
Nady Nate, where we can get Can't Knock the Hustle? I've got people coming to me all day, every day. And
you
I got a shout
right
out.
Now. You can't
huh?
get it right now. First, you can't get it right now. First of all, at the time that he was killed, he was adding to that book. That book was one of the things that was signed under his new contract with the new company that he was going with. Hustle Hard Publication was no longer. Yeah, Hustle Hard Publication was no longer had the rights to that because that particular book went along with the new company, Augusta Publishing, that he was under. At the time that he was killed, he was doing a reread of what he added to that book because that, from what I understand, well, from what he told me, his story was being added to that book. So the book would have ended up being thicker than it was because they were adding chapters to that book. And Augusta has the rights, and he never finished reading through his part of it yet. The end of the year, they were supposed to re-release that book along with the other releases that they have. So at this point, until they can find out where that sits and what the contract with Augusta is, because I don't really know. Well, since his death, some of the things that I've learned, I don't think there's anybody else out here that can finish his story because he kept things very close to the vest.
Miss Rhea, have you talked to his mom?
No.
I talked to his mom, his dad, his cousin. They all call me, asking me, and I'm just sitting here, and I call Braille. You know I call Braille because Braille was his people, and they was about to do a compilation together. And I'm just like, I mean, I spent hours on the phone with his family.
Well,
you
know,
I know
August 30th, three books were supposed to drop. The anthology one and two books about new authors. The day after he was killed, he was supposed to be coming to Chicago and he would have been here for a while. And I know we were going to meet because there was something that he told me that he wanted me and my reading circle to work with him on. And since he's died, and I have the obituary because his fiance dropped it off to me yesterday when she was on her way back, he was opening up a school of poetry. And I think maybe that's probably what, because he knows that I was working very much with spoken word artists in my area. And so I think that's what he wanted us to work with him on. But right now, the only questions about Can't Knock the Hustle, those questions can only be answered by Augusta Publishing, because I can tell you right now, they own the rights to that book. So I don't know what's going
to
happen.
That's what we all need to know, because his mom was
they
like
own,
Lisa.
No, they own. He signed with them. He signed with them in December. So they own the rights to that book.
Okay.
Yeah.
So I'll call his mom tomorrow. And after the show, I want you to call me on the 770-680-5271. I'm going to give you his mom's number. Because we 770-680-5271. Because Miss Rhea, we all sitting here going through it. Like his mom calling me, his dad calling me, his cousin calling me, and we just like we dumbfounded right now. Because his mom actually sent me an inbox text. Now that my son is in heaven, Lisa, what happens to his books? Like what goes on? And I'm like, I didn't publish them. I was just Nate's friend and promoter. Also, shout out RIP, Nate, we love you. You still with us. You will always be with us. And we're going to figure it out, and we're going to take care of this, Miss Rhea.
So what happens when an author dies and the publishing company, what do? They don't distribute the books to the family members, or how does that work? They put it out there and they collect the money?
Well, see, it really depends, and this is just common knowledge to it. I mean, this is just me saying this. I've never worked with this, but if I own the rights to something, then it's mine. Okay, whatever the duration of that contract was, for example, I know several people who signed with some of these larger publishing companies, and they owned the rights to that book for 7 years. That was the time frame. At the end of that 7 years, the rights to that book reverted back to that author, but until that time, that company owned the rights to that book. The part of the reason I know so much about Can't Knock the Hustle is because I purchased that for my reading circle and for some gifts back in June. He turned around and returned my money 3 weeks late, the next week, well, almost 3 days later, because he talked to me. And he returned my money because he told me he would not be selling that right now, but he didn't tell me why he wouldn't be selling it. It wasn't until after he signed, last June was when I purchased it. He didn't tell me until after he signed the contract and he announced it to the world that he was now signed with Augusta Publishing, that's one of the things that was assigned to them. So I don't know what his book deal was with them or anything else like that. So, but for that particular book, those would be the only people that can answer the question. Now, as far as his books, the three that were supposed to drop, if they were supposed to drop on the 30th, I'm sure they were at the printer. Where are they? Who has, you know, and that, I don't know, who has access to that information?
Nobody. That's the whole thing. That's the whole thing that his mom asking me. That's a whole question.
If you don't, if you don't know what he was doing, because we know that the print copy got to be out here somewhere, okay? Somebody along the line, you know, but if they don't come forward and say, well, I have this, or I have this, or I have this, you don't know where that was established at. He had to be working with somebody to do the covers, because I know he does not do his own covers. He just approves them. So he was working with some kind of artist to do those covers. He was working with some kind of printer to print those books. So unless those people come forth and say, because from what I understand now, he let go of his business partner months and months and months ago. So he was doing it solo. So I don't know who knew what, and I don't know who he was working with, like I said, in Arizona. So when you don't know, it's just out there in limbo, and unfortunately, somebody can come along, and that can be an easy steal.
Mm.
It can be a very easy steal because it's already done. You see what I'm saying? And if nobody else knows who, you just change this, that, and the other, and that can be, you know, but we don't know. I don't, because I know, I talked to his fiance in depth yesterday, and I know he was very close to the vest about many things. And I know in our talks and our conversations, he had been burnt several times. So he didn't let information out. He didn't share information. He didn't, you know, because he used to apologize to you. He said, you know, I just can't. And I'm like, I'm fine. You ain't got to tell me nothing. You know, I don't have a problem with that. But he just kept things very close to the vest. But he had to be working with someone. And whoever that was he was working with, it should be in his apartment. It should be in his stuff. There should be something along the way that will.
Miss Rhea, listen to me. No, his father went down there. His cousin went down there. And his mama told me, they was like, Lisa, we can't even find his wallet with his debit cards. Where do the royalties go to? I'm just sitting here like, what? They calling the police department and talking to the captain and the detective, and nobody wanted to tell them nothing. why. There's something that's not right. There's something not right with Nady Nate. Not Nady Nate himself, I'm talking about with the death. With the death. Because the newspaper article said it was over a dice game and a robbery, but somebody told mommy, his mommy, that he walked into open fire. First of all, Nady Nate is not going to walk into open fire. He's from Philadelphia and Pennsylvania. You know what I'm saying? He's not stupid. So somebody better tell me something, because next week my flight is booked. I'm going down to Arizona, and I'm going to find out. And his mom noticed. His father down there, they had to go clean that body because we didn't even know if it was Nate's body. We didn't know. Like, they just saying it was him. Okay, so you identified him by what? But yet y'all can't find his wallet?
Hmm.
Something doesn't make sense.
Wow.
A lot don't make sense. Yeah. And then some girl got his laptop and all this, calling his mom. She called, and his mom calling me, Lisa, do you know this person? No, I don't. I don't know this person. I've never heard Nate talk about this person. The only one, and that mom, will, mom, Nady Nate mom, will clarify, is his fiance. And I don't even trust her, and I'm going to tell you that all. I don't trust her. Because something is not right. She in Chicago, okay, he was moving there to you, with you. Mom know her and all that, but something is not sitting right in my stomach. But I'm going to get to the bottom of it, because how you going to identify a man? And nobody got his wallet. Nobody got no type of nothing for him. Nobody can find his wallet. Nobody. Oh, Lord, please.
Well, how did it come to be that he was identified, period, if he didn't have any identification on him?
That's exactly what I'm saying. I've got the newspaper article, and it was even posted on page, Nathaniel Holmes. Okay? It was posted on my page. That's what they said. That's who was killed. Then, all of a sudden, nobody, his family had to go down there and identify the body. They bring him back up here. We all brought him back up here, do donations and everything. Thank you, Miss Rhea. And he's up in PA. Okay?
Well,
the
no,
family.
He's not in PA. He's in Chicago. Because
oh,
I'm
Chicago.
Him,
yeah. Because
he was
right.
Cremated. And I saw his ashes. I held them in my hand yesterday. So he's here, you know, but.
Yeah, Chicago, my bad. Family in PA.
What I understood was that a family member knew somebody that lived there that knew Nate. They had that person go to the morgue the day after it was done. So that was on the 26th. They had that person go to the morgue and identify the body, and they had that person claim that they were his brother. Then they called back and told the family, yes, that he is him. Because
mm-hmm.
they didn't know for sure that was him. So that's what I was told. That was the understanding that I had. That they had somebody go to the morgue and somebody who they knew from Arizona go to the morgue and identify the body. Now, that was my understanding, because I asked the same question. I said, how do you all know that was him? You know, because I saw those articles. I looked through 22 articles, and I finally found one that listed his name, and I only saw one that listed his name. All the rest of them just listed an age.
Wow.
So,
no,
but okay, bottom line is, there's going to be a whole lot of things that are never going to be answered, okay? And they're not going to be, and first of all, I mean, not first of all, I have all the faith in the world in his fiance. I met her with him, okay? We talked, we visited, this, that, and the other. I never saw anything else there, and when I talked to him, I got a feel of comfort with him and her. So I don't have an issue with that. That was my point of contact because that's the person who I have physically met. The only other person I know of in his family is Keisha. And the only reason I know of her is because of her injuries last year. I don't know the other family members of his.
That's his sister, right?
And Nate was not forthcoming. He did not talk much about them. He did not talk much. He didn't share much. He kept stuff so close that if you don't get to those people who he actually worked with in Arizona, you may not never find an answer to those questions.
Okay.
He really may not, because he kept things. He was very, very tight-lipped. To the point of, in my opinion, to the point of paranoia. Because he said he had been burned. Some people have stole some things from him, stole some ideals and things from him. So he wasn't putting nothing out there until it was done. So I don't know. But he had to have, it had to be somebody there who worked with him, was involved with him, or whatever the case may be. And it's up to them to come forth to the family. Because it's not like they don't know who the family is, because the family is all over his page now. Even if you didn't know before his death, you know now.
Mm.
But if they don't come forward, you may not find an answer to those questions. If you went to his apartment and you didn't find anything, if he didn't have a paper trail there and he didn't have documentation, I mean, because you're talking about contracts. You're talking about publishing companies and this, that, and the other. There has to be something somewhere. I don't think all that. I mean, because he was for business. So I don't think all that was word of mouth, and I don't think that was that shake hand kind of contract kind of thing, because you got to cover your ass. So that's the strange part to me, that they didn't locate anything.
Well, and you said they couldn't find his laptop.
See, that's the part that concerns me, because that right there puts up all kind of red flags to me, because that says that there's somebody out there that removed something.
Mm-hmm.
I mean, how many authors you know don't work on their laptop? Where do they work at?
Miss Rhea, his mom told me today this girl called her and said, I got Nady Nate's last suitcase, his laptop, and everything else. And she said, where's his wallet? Like, where's his ID and all that? And she was like, I don't know. Cops don't know where his ID is, but you can identify him in a newspaper article. Come on now. Something is not right with this picture.
That's
something's
true.
Not well, right.
Who is the girl who have his laptop and suitcase? Where did she get it from?
She said he gave it to her. I'm gonna give you Mama Nady Nate's number when you call me.
Wow.
Yeah.
That don't even sound right.
Nope. Nothing sounds right. None of this sounds right. None of it.
Wow.
But all right, y'all. I love you. And Miss Ray, you know the digits, 770-680-5271. Call me back and I'll give you Mama Bam, because she's right next to her. I'm dealing with Tay-Tay getting literally robbed and dragged to a car last night, my nephew.
Mm.
Wow.
Yeah.
Sorry to hear that.
And I was up till 6 a.m. taking care of him, and then got up. And all the baby said, I went next door. I said, baby, are you all right? He said, Auntie, Tay-Tay. I said, what, baby? He said, eggs and cheese. I got you. So, yeah. It's crazy.
Well,
it's crazy.
Yeah, that's a shame.
And I'm afraid to look at my homeboys in Newark right now. I really am. Like, I won't even, like, Star Ledger, NewJersey.com. I get sick every day. Like, come on now. 47 shootings in 3 days. Man, please.
Right, that happened in New York, didn't it?
Yeah, now we all got to worry about the 911.
Well, I think as far as the 911 is concerned, I don't think anything is going to happen with that, you know.
Girl,
but
have you not watched the news? Have you not watched the news? There is a truck on the way. It's either going to go D.C. or New York City. There is a truck on the way with a car bomb. It's all on the news.
Oh, really? Well, they'll probably intercept it.
I hope
I think they'll be intercepted because, you know, the thing with the 911, because a friend of mine was working at the Pentagon when that plane went in there, and she lost her hand. She was burnt real bad, and she wasn't expected to live. And another friend of mine actually died. But that was 10 years ago. And my heart goes out for the people who lost their lives and the people who were young when it happened and grew up without a mother or a father. My heart goes out for them and the people who was on the plane as well. But I think that what people should dwell on now is the people who survived, because that's in the past and, you know, it's behind us, and, you know, just look forward to the present and the future. But, you know, like I said, my heart does go out to, you know, the lives that was lost and all that destruction. But I was watching on the news, on television today, how they built it back up there, and it's a beautiful sight from what they, you know, built back up.
Yeah, I'm
and, you know, people just, you know, need to get on with their lives, and all these terrorists and, you know, people like that, you know, just let it go.
Mm-hmm.
Just let it go, you know.
Well, one of the things is we talk too damn much.
Mm-hmm.
And they broadcast all of our security plans and everything else
yeah.
that we doing. You got it all on the TV. It's
yeah. So they're going to figure out another way to go.
It's like, yo,
they
yo,
just
need
to go on and,
shut up sometimes.
Yep. Just go on and do whatever it is they're going to do and call
exactly.
it a day because
exactly.
they got, you know, if they these people are not crazy and they're watching the news and they all they want to do is find one little loophole when they say, okay, we got
exactly.
this covered, we got
and
that covered, but we don't have that covered, so that's when the danger is going to come.
Baby, let me tell you something. We had an unidentified plane in Chicago airspace. Now, I work downtown. It
mm-hmm.
was not. It was in the vicinity of the Willis Tower, which used to be the Sears Tower.
Mm-hmm.
We heard an announcement go out. Next thing we know, all the streets from Michigan back to Union Station are blocked off.
Mm-hmm.
I promise you, we didn't hear not one sound. Do you hear me? Because you know how
mm-hmm.
you can tell when planes are flying over? When
mm-hmm.
we didn't hear not one sound. They had two of those Air Force things, those
mm-hmm.
were on side of this plane. They gave it a choice. Either you take it down or we blowing your ass out the sky.
Mm-hmm.
They didn't have a choice. Do you understand? We never even heard them come. And you could see them right there, and it was the three of them. They brought that plane down. Wherever they brought that plane down, they brought that plane down because they was going to blow it out. So they're watching certain things. And if they keep their mouth shut and quit broadcasting every step of what they're doing, then everybody else won't necessarily know what you're doing.
Mm-hmm.
But they're telling everything.
Yep.
It's like,
all
wow,
they need
really?
Is one door opening, and that's what they're going to take.
Exactly. Exactly. And if they know that you think this is a black truck coming from this way and this way, they may change it to a white truck or whatever the case
yeah.
may be. And what you're not looking for. So sometimes, you know, and I don't know if these are decoy things they putting out there or what, because I'm sure they probably do that too. But sometimes they just need to close their mouth because we tell everything.
Yep, sure do. That's a fact.
Riley, Jack.
Mm-hmm.
That's why snitches get stitches and become somebody's bitches. Straight up.
It's like you fighting a terrorist.
You fighting somebody that's trying to take your life, that's trying to kill you, but yet you giving them the instructions all along the way of how to get to you.
Mm-hmm.
Come on now.
Yeah.
What's
know.
That and I'm like, wow.
Where they do
that
at? Where they do that at?
Exactly. I heard that this morning when they first started talking about that they did confirm that they had a serious
threat and that they had it verified. That was all they needed to say. Y'all didn't need to go into detail. And then they start going into detail. Why? If that was me, then that means I just changed my motives. I'm just going another way.
Look, all over the news, they was out. They even down here in Georgia, I'm sitting here looking like, hold up, y'all talk about Washington, D.C. and New York? We got problems with the truck and had the passport showing and all that for three of them. Like, man.
And all those pictures and everything they showed, believe me, those people probably are in some ditch somewhere and they've got other ones to take their place. That don't look like what they were looking for.
You ain't never lied. You ain't never lied, Miss Rhea. You already know. With that being said, y'all, love you, and I'm out. I got to go on my grind on Facebook so I can go to sleep. I got to call my rapper so I can get this on BET.
Well, thank you, Lisa, for coming in. You know, anytime you're welcome, darling. And put your show out there so people can, you know, let them know where they can catch you.
Word on the street. Everything I do is word on the street. Word on the street blog talk, word on the street publishing, word on the street bookstore.com. All of that's just me, word on the street. But
so if someone Googles you, they can find you as well. Word
girl,
on the street.
Please. Kelvin Jackson, author Kelvin Jackson. Shout out to him. He actually called me the other day. He said, baby girl, I was really just Googling your name to see what happens. And I said, what are you saying? He said, Lisa, you got 19 pages. Where the hell they do that at? I was like, what? He was like, you don't even know how you're out there. I said, no. Until Zane's people hit me up. Yes, Ms. Zane, the author, R. Zane, hit me up. Her people hit me up talking about, I saw you in Zane's book family, so I want to introduce myself. Then stay tuned for October 6th. What? R. Kelly, the author of his autobiography, hit me up wanting to be on my show. So, yeah.
Her name is, what's that girl's name? What's her name?
I'm not
Christine,
trying to go on.
Is it Christine or something like that? What is her name? She wrote the book, because she was on, Ms. Kane had interviewed her. Christine Klein. Is that the one?
No.
It's not. Oh, someone else wrote a book?
Yeah, they gave me the exclusive on it. They gave me the exclusive. And
she's
going to
be on your show October the 6th, you're saying?
October the 6th, Thursday, October the 6th.
Okay, please remind me of that.
When you call me, I'll read you the email, because you're going to be sitting there like, are you serious? Yeah.
Oh, okay.
Okay, now, just in the little bit of time I've been on the show with you, right? What we've been on for an hour?
We've been on for a little bit more than an hour.
Okay, yeah. 422 messages. Like, are you serious?
Wow.
I'm going to answer them all before I go to sleep. Yep.
Okay.
I'll answer
them all.
You're
a busy woman. Such a lofty task.
You stupid. Yeah, take your ass somewhere and smooches. She gonna
all
be
right,
on the page talk about smooches. Oh,
yeah, like I said, come back anytime.
That is what you identify her pad as.
Smooches.
Yeah, smooches. Mm-hmm. That's saying love you, thank you, and everything else. So smooches.
All rolled in one.
Yeah.
Yeah,
there ain't
I know.
Too many times you can go wrong with a kiss unless that kiss is unwanted.
Yeah.
We get the wanted kisses from her. Shit, if I don't get a kiss, I know Gail come with a kiss. Trust me.
Because those smooches done made my day many a day.
Shit, you never lie.
I see that and I just crack up. And people just look, what are you... I'm Hey, I just got my little bit of sunshine. That's all I needed.
That's all we need, because we got so much love for that lady. She just be, and Miss Rhea, you too. I love you to death, because you have been through something that nobody else even knows about. Even Miss Kisses and Smooches over there don't know about. You know what I'm talking about, that damn prison trip.
Well, it is what it is.
Yeah,
I didn't live it firsthand, but I done lived it through enough, including my own son. And it's like, hey, we got to do better, y'all. That's all I got to say. We have to do better.
Yeah. Have that for another show that I'll call into.
Yeah,
yeah, have that for another show.
They walk around here wearing it like it's a badge. I'm sorry, but it ain't nothing to be proud about.
Thank you. Thank you.
You know,
she actually
babies and make a name for ourselves out here instead of just come on. But I ain't gonna even go into that because I can.
Let's do that, Gail. That's the next show. That's the next show, me and Miss Rhea. That's the next show, me and Miss Rhea, talking about Lisa's 14-hour trip to a prison to see an author. Bet you didn't know about all that.
14 hours?
Yeah, it was 14 hours round trip.
Where was this prisoner at?
Newark to Philly. Yep.
Okay.
And I won't put no names out there, but she know who I'm talking about. That's
was
Ms. Rhea.
A pleasant trip or what?
Man, please.
Okay, this is the second time somebody's been talking about Kevin Hart's movie and pineapples.
Yo, Kevin Hart, you talking about our Kevin Hart, the comedian?
Yeah,
he said,
talking about, because his movie, that my daughter is at the theater now, and she doesn't put up statuses. And she put up the status, Kevin Hart, pineapple, LOL, all the way across the screen. And then several people on Facebook put up something. They put up, like, some kind of saying the word pineapples and Kevin Hart, and, like, they fell out laughing. And it's like, okay, I'm sure.
That boy inboxed me. Kevin inboxed me. He said, Lisa, I'm in Atlanta, and I got a jaywalking ticket. Pound. I'm not paying it. I was dying. Yo, Kevin, yo, he is crazy. And then he got mad at me because last time he was in the A, he sent me tickets to be VIP and backstage, but I didn't have a ride and I didn't have no money to get there, so I didn't go. So he got a little attitude. Kevin will get
it. Well, next time he send you tickets, tell him to send a limousine driver as well.
I'm not greedy like that. Y'all know that about me. Shit, now I will be. Because what, Kevin, what?
If he's going to get an attitude, you got to let him know you don't have transportation to get there. You know,
you
did appreciate your tickets.
That's the operative word. That other ticket should have been your ticket to get wherever you need to get, because whoever was going to drive you, come go with me.
That boy right there is off the hook when he gets to the eight. Inboxing me and shit. When he told me that shit about he got a jaywalking ticket, pounds, I'm not paying it, I lost my mind. I was like, yo, this boy's silly as hell. And he ain't. He ain't paying it. So, all right, y'all, we love you. And
okay, man, love you too.
Miss Rhea, call me so I can do this with Nady. I'll give you Nady Nate's moms.
All right.
Okay,
okay,
love you both.
Okay, see you, Lisa.
Good night, Ms. Delish.
Good night, darling. Okay, that was Lisa, everybody. She has a blog talk show over there as well. Make sure you get over there and listen to her show. She's very sincere. Good people, good people. Ain't she, Rhea?
There she is.
Yeah, she's definitely good people. So, it's getting down to the wire. I'm going to send out my little requests again for people who want to see Antoine T. Money's movie, The Right to Remain Silent, in your city, state, town. Go to the website, righttoremainsilentmovie.com, and request the movie. Also, if you want to purchase any of my books, go to my website, which is www.deliciousbooks.com. No, it's not. That's not my website. I apologize.
Isn't it Verizon.net?
That's my
Because, see, I want to
email
that controversial one. And I was like, I wrote that down real quick.
The website is www.deliciousbooks.webs.com. That's my website where you can order my books. My books are What's Past Is Not Forgotten, Volume 1 and Volume 2 is The Reunion. My book, You Might Get Lucky, and a book of delicious erotic short stories. And like I said, I'm working on a play with my second book, You Might Get Lucky. And my first book, Volume 1 and Volume 2, is being reviewed by a filmmaker to either be a series or movie or, a series on the web or a movie, either one. And I'm also working on a CD. Like I said, I'm a author, poet, actress, and a romance consultant. And I'm a co-host for a couple other, well, for one Blog Talk radio show, and I do a segment on another Blog Talk radio show, which is Third Eye Open. That's every Friday from 1:30 until about 2. And I do co-host with Miss Kane on Monday, Tuesday, whatever day she feels like having a show. But Monday we're doing Celebrity Gossip. And Rhea is a book reviewer. My co-host.
Oh. I read books I've bought in over a year. Because, yes, I am a book reviewer.
Mm-hmm.
And I enjoy doing it.
Mm-hmm. And bless her heart, too, because, like I had mentioned, I'm putting it out there, I am not a book reviewer, but if you have a very interesting book that grabs my attention, I will read it and review it. Like I'm reading a book now, we're going to have this guest on the show next week, and that's...
I'm looking forward to that.
Oh, who you talking, girl? D.K. Walker? I cannot wait to have him on the show. Really?
Yeah, I'm sitting here just bowled over by you being on chapter 50 in less than a day. And I'm like, okay, am I going to have to? So I'm going to have to get into this. The
girl, I'm telling you, I'm not going to want to put this book down, but you have to. You're going to have to put it down because I'm telling you, it's going to have you thinking some strange thoughts.
Oh, my goodness gracious.
I wouldn't say strange, but it's going to have you, let me say this. It might get you a little wet.
And I'm sitting here playing him right now in Words with Friends.
Wow.
And as soon as you said that, a message popped up from him. So he got a message for me. I'm like, okay.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, I'm just warning you. When you get this book, The Ugly Side of Sex, and this is his first book. This is this author's first book.
Mm-hmm.
And he also has a publishing company as well. But this book, oh, my God, it is something. I mean, it is really, it's a good book because... like it's 95% based on this gentleman's life. And, you know, just when you're reading it and you are actually seeing him in this book, because I'm seeing all this action and things that's going on. I'm actually seeing those things in my mind, Rhea.
Oh.
Yes, it will take you there.
I like those kind of reads. Those kind of reads. You get all in the middle of it, like you're right there in the middle of it.
Yeah,
that's how I felt when I read Elizabeth Fumble's first book. I found myself arguing at them people and everything else because I felt like I was right there in the middle of it. And it was like, I started my review off with, wow.
Well, honey, this character who he's telling his life story to, she's something.
Exactly.
And There's no cut cards in this book. It's graphic. And, you know, like I said, it'll take you there. So,
well, I like No Holds Barred book. I like those hard-hitting, straight, you know, like they say, you know, straight, no chaser. I like those type of books because you know you get, you can feel that you're getting a whole story. Because sometimes people candy coat things and this, that, and the other.
Because so, I'm telling you, I like I said, I got the book Wednesday, but I didn't start reading until yesterday, and I'm on chapter 50, and I take this book everywhere in this house with me, from my bedroom to the office, and you know, doing different things, and I'll set some time aside to read the book. But when I go to bed, I'm just reading till I go to sleep, or even till I have to put it down, because sometimes I just put the book down because I can't torture myself like that.
I got to take a break. Understandable.
I'm serious, 'cause I called my sister and I told her about the book.
And it's funny because I called my sister and told my sister about the book today, but I haven't read it yet. And I did mention it to her as well, my sister that's there in Baltimore.
I told my sister, I said, Joanne, girl, I got a book over here. And I said, believe me when I tell you, you cannot read this book without taking a break. Not no ordinary break, but a break to get yourself together. She said, well, what is it about? I said, Joanne, you'll see. She said, well, I want to read as soon as you finish. I want to read it. I want to read it. I said, okay, no problem, but I'm going to tell you right now. You are going to have to take a break. Because this book is full of it, you know, and like I've read some erotic books, I've read some X-rated books, I've read books, you know, but this book takes you there.
See,
and it's not.
I love erotica. That's a whole story.
Right.
I love that anyway.
And it's not the you know, because we're it's an adult book. You know, I wouldn't let anyone under 18 read this book. But, you know, there's no cut cards in this book. The character is laying it out there. You know, like, I guess, you know, just as things happen, because that's how I'm seeing it. The title of the book, The Ugly Side of Sex, by D.K. Walker. He'll be here next week, 11 p.m., blogtalkradio.com/delicious_talk. That's next Friday, the 16th. And the 23rd, Michael Hayes, a spoken word artist and a poet, will be here. And on the 30th, Slow Jams. So get your drink together. Turn on a computer or just, you know, you can listen over the phone. Usually you don't have to, you know, go to the computer. But, you know, look forward to these shows, and I don't know what's going to be going on. Next month is October, right? Yeah, I haven't put up my October schedule, but those are the schedules of the show that are going to be coming up for the rest of this month. And my guest, I don't know what happened to him, but, you know, the show still went on. We still had a good time. And, you know, hopefully everybody who's out there listening had a good time. If you have any questions or comments, you know, you can always call in. If you want to be a guest on my show, you can inbox me either on Blog Talk or you can send me an email at goldenlocks556@verizon.net. With that being said, this is the end of the show. Everybody have a nice weekend. Is it a holiday? Oh, no, 911. But anyway, everybody have a beautiful weekend. Rhea, you have a beautiful weekend as well.
Thank you.
And I will be talking to you, darling. And
thank you. And when I be on the interview next week, I'll either be sitting by the pool, on my balcony, or out at the beach.
All right, darling. You have a safe trip
sweetie.
Okay? All right. Good night. Good night, everybody.
Night.
everybody.